In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. So I'd like to start off our conversation by turning to Mary. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, we pray the beautiful prayer at the end of the Rosary, the Hail Holy Queen. We turn to Mary and pray to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to be with us, to pray with us, and to pray for us, and bring us closer and closer to her Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as our Consoler. The Holy Spirit is also the Sanctifier. We're going to arrive at holiness of life, then the Holy Spirit, He's the one that will help us to arrive at this real holiness of life. Also, the Holy Spirit is also known as the Interior Master or Teacher. St. Paul says we really don't know how to pray as we ought. So it's the Holy Spirit that intercedes with us with ineffable groans so that we can say Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect and ask Him to give us the interior fire to burn within our hearts as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, and instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Rosary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. St. Charles Borromeo, pray for us. St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, all God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So true it is, the family that prays together stays together. So we always start off our conversation by praying to Mary, our Heavenly Mother. Then we pray to the Holy Spirit, our spiritual guide. Then we pray to the angels, as well as we pray to the saints, the angels and the saints. We pray to the saint of the day, of course, and saint of the day, St. Charles Borromeo. Then, I promise to pray for all of you that You'll feel the consolation, because I'll place you on the altar in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Of course, there's no greater prayer in the whole world than the prayer which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer. So I'd like to place all of you on the altar, and I'd like to offer these specific intentions. First intention, I'd like to pray for all of us that we would be open and docile to the Holy Spirit. That we would be open and docile to the Holy Spirit. That's right. Our sanctification depends upon our being open to the Holy Spirit. Next, I'd like to pray in a special way as we try to open to the Holy Spirit, that invite all of us to pray this short prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. To the heart of Mary. My second intention will be that all of us will take it upon ourselves our obligation as priests as well as parents. Obligation for priests as well as parents to work on our ongoing formation, to work on our permanent formation. It's how true it really is that we as parents are the primary educators of our children. And we as priests were called to pray for the people of God, but we're also called to preach the Word of God. The Saint Paul says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Saint Paul also said that faith comes through hearing. So let's work on our ongoing formation. My last intention will be, today, throughout the world, many people will die. Will these people that are dying today, are they really prepared to go from this life to the next? Are they really prepared? Probably many are not. Probably many are not. So, let's pray for them. especially those who are not living in the state of grace, that they would be saved through our prayers. So those will be the intentions we'll place on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass today. Just a note on this month of November, then today happens to be the first Friday of the month. We'll talk briefly about that. That in the month of November, my friends, the month of November, my friends, is a month in which we want to pray more frequently and more fervently for the souls in purgatory. That's right, to pray more frequently and more fervently for the souls detained in purgatory. And as the book of Revelation says, nothing impure can enter into the kingdom of God. This morning, at 10 o'clock, I have a funeral mass. And a couple of weeks ago, I went with the deacon, Jonas, to the hospital where this woman was in her last stage of her life. And I gave her the anointing of the sick, and then we prayed with some of the relatives. We prayed the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. So the month of November is a month in which we also think about the reality of death. You should pray for yourselves as well as pray for your loved ones, that we would all have the grace of a holy and happy death. That's right. The grace of all graces. The grace of all graces is for us to die in the state of grace. The grace of all graces is for us to die in the state of grace. So my exhortation for all of us is that we should pray, if it's possible, for our loved ones as well as for ourselves, that before we die, we would be able to prepare ourselves by receiving, it's called the continuous rite of the sacraments. This continuous rite of the sacraments is the following: to be able to receive three sacraments before we pass from this life to the next. This should be one of our prayers, especially in November, because it's month we pray for the souls in purgatory, but we meditate upon the reality of death, that one day we will all die. When, where, how, the moment, we don't know. That depends on God. But one day we will die. The continual rite would be taking into account that the person that is dying is still in a conscious state. To start off by helping the person to make a good confession. Then, after confession, the priest, it has to be a priest, administers the anointing of the sick by placing his hands on the head of the person, anointing the forehead with holy oil, then the hands with the special oil. And part of that continual rite, the priest can actually give that person what is called the apostolic pardon. Apostolic pardon means the church offers what is called a plenary indulgence for those who are dying. It's a relatively short prayer, but very important. So that when we die, if we receive that, then the church says that not only are our sins forgiven, but the temporal punishment due to those sins are also forgiven. The temporal punish of the sins are also forgiven. Then after that, the priest would administer what is called viaticum. Important that we understand what viaticum is. Viaticum means food for the journey. Food for the journey in the sense that you receive Holy Communion. And that reception of the Eucharist is one of the most efficacious means to bring us into the presence of God. Remember the words of Christ, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That Jesus says this in John chapter 6, in the context of the Bread of Life discourse. He says that I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. What our Lord is saying is that if we receive Holy Communion, which is the bread of life, then that is the portal or the gateway to eternal life, which is heaven. So that should be our ideal, to be able to receive what's called the continual rite to receive confession, the anointing of the sick, followed by the apostolic pardon, and then communion, the viaticum. I would even add to that, that the relatives that might be present at the bedside of the person that's dying, to pray both the rosary as well as the chaplet of Divine Mercy. Because we pray the rosary, then we're begging Mary to be with us as well as that person that's dying. And we say, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen. So that person is dying, the Blessed Mother is there to intercede and to pray for that person. Then, to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. In the diary of St. Faustina Kowalska, Divine Mercy in My Soul, Jesus offers this saint, as well as we who are followers of Christ, many beautiful promises. One of the promises is that our Lord says that when someone is dying, at the same time someone is praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, then our Lord promises that this person will experience His mercy and will be saved. Indeed, it's one of the most consoling promises that we have. So irrespective of whether or not that person's a practicing Catholic, or maybe a born-again Christian, or maybe belonging to a religious sect, or maybe an agnostic, or perhaps even a non-believer. Still, our Lord promises in the infinite ocean of His mercy that that person will be saved. And the reason being is because by praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Christ is manifesting to His Father the wounds in His hands, the wounds in His feet, His pierced side. And the Eternal Father is seeing that dying person who is a sinner through the eyes, the wounds, the open heart of His Son. By contemplating the sinner through the wounds of His beloved Son, God the Father cannot reject that sinner. Behold my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, seeing the sinner through the eyes, the heart, and the wounds of Christ. So my friends, when we're going to a funeral mass, it's a good idea to pray for the person that died. And not give in to the false compassion of this cliche or pious platitude where we hear these words, well, he's no longer suffering. Well, he's in a better place. I think that those cliches or pious platitudes are dangerous. Because if we believe he's in a better place, basically we're saying he's in heaven. We say he's no longer suffering. Okay, that also means he's in heaven. That's the case, why even pray for the person? Because if someone's in heaven, you don't pray for that person, you actually pray to that person. So even though I gave the anointing to the sick and I prayed the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for this person whose funeral mass is today, I'll try to console the loved ones because the woman had 12 children and many grandchildren. I will encourage the family members starting today to offer a novena for this person. And when I say novena, I mean this. 9 days. 9 days. Nine days in a row. And the novena could be that they go to different homes and families and they pray the rosary every day for 9 days. Perhaps with the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Or it could be to go to Mass 9 days in a row, offering your Mass and your communion for that person. So what I do is I'll offer a secondary intention in my Mass is 9 days in a row. I have the primary intention that has been offered that have been offered for the person that has asked for this probably months before, but as a secondary intention. So that's something I think very pleasing to God, the practice of praying for the dead, praying for deathbed sinners, and offering what might be called a novena for the person that's passed away. A novena. So, today, my friends, is the first Friday of the month. First Friday of the month is the day in which we honor the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. If you notice in my studio there on the wall, you can see the portrait of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. On the other side, you can see there's another image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus with a nun whose name is Saint Margaret Mariella Cook. She was the recipient of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Jesus appeared to Saint Margaret Mariella Cook and said to her, "Behold the heart that loves so much. Behold the heart that loves so much, but receives only coldness and gratitude in return. Console my heart." So Jesus asked Saint Margaret Mariella Cook. He asked her to do several things. First was he asked her Thursday night from 11 until 12 midnight to accompany him. And if possible, even in front of the Blessed Sacrament, given that she was a religious nun, that was easier than most of you lay people. That time from 11 to 12 but would be symbolic of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane when he entered into his mortal agony. So you might even get in the habit of making a holy hour from 11 to 12 on Thursdays. If not in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the church, in the quiet of your room. The purpose would be to console the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as offer up prayers of reparation. Now, Jesus also asked Saint Margaret Mariella Cook, the practice of the first Fridays, the nine first Fridays of the month. He asked that those who honor his Sacred Heart to try to make a confession around that day, a week before, a week after, then to participate in the greatest of all prayers. The greatest of all prayers, you know that by now, is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But then in Mass, to receive Holy Communion, but to offer a communion of reparation, to repair for the many sins of humanity against his Most Sacred Heart. So how might this be expressed? Okay, so you go to church, you're going to Mass, and you're reflecting, well, what are some acts of reparation that I could carry out. Well, you know, my friends, one of the greatest sufferings of Christ takes us to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Book of Revelation, chapter 3. Which you have the churches, letter to the churches in Asia Minor. Revelation, chapter 3. The Holy Spirit says, I know your works. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were. But you're lukewarm. Because you're neither cold nor hot nor lukewarm, but you're lukewarm, the Bible says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will spit you out of my mouth. So Jesus wants us to offer our communion. In reparation for the overall coldness, indifference toward his Sacred Heart. Coldness or indifference. If I would sometimes ask this question, what's the opposite of love? The knee-jerk reaction that we usually say, well, the opposite of love is hate. And if you respond in that way, you're not wrong. But there's another way that can be interpreted, the opposite of love. And it would be what Jesus said to St. Margaret Mary Lecouc. It would be just indifference, coldness, apathy, a flippant who cares attitude. That really hurts. And in marriages, what is very detrimental to marriages is that the Bible says you've lost your first love in the book of Revelation. You've lost your first love. Recover your first love, otherwise I'll take the candelabra from you. You've lost your first love. In marriages and families, without a doubt, one of the most detrimental things that can corrode and even corrupt marriages is to take the family members for granted. That's right, to take the family members for granted. We can do the same thing with Christ. We can take the Lord for granted too. We can take the Lord for granted. We want to avoid that. Taking the Lord for granted. We want to avoid that. You've lost your first love. Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on the earth, and I'm not at peace until that fire be kindled. So what we're doing, my friends, we're talking about the month of November. We're talking about praying for the souls in purgatory. We're talking also about the reality of death, how we can prepare ourselves for a holy and happy death, what we can do to help others. To have a holy and happy death. And we're talking about what we can do to help the souls in purgatory, to alleviate their pains and to have quick access into heaven. What we're doing now also, my friends, is we're spending some time talking about the first Friday of the month, which is dedicated to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. We're talking about what Jesus said to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Some of the requests that our Lord made to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. We're talking about the 9 first Fridays and how we can live that out. So, by going to the 9 first Fridays consecutive, and by going to Mass and receiving Holy Communion, is the very heart of it. However, communion of reparation. When we sin, we have to try to repair for our sin by carrying out acts of reparation. And one very pleasing to God would be to make fervent communions. Making fervent communions. Making fervent communions, begging for mercy and pardon and reparation for how our Lord, in His greatest gift to us, is simply taken for granted. So making fervent communions for those who simply take Him for granted. They simply take Him for granted. Another way that He is taken for granted is the following. And I invite you, when you make your communion today, offer your communion for this group of people. The biggest religious group of people in our country, as well as in the Philippines, as well as in Mexico, as well as in Latin America, the biggest religious group would be Catholics, but non-practicing Catholics. Some of you who are my age, or even a little bit older, you probably remember as a child that when you did go to Mass on Sunday, the churches were packed, people were properly dressed. As a whole, there was silence in church. Saturdays, the confessional lines were very long. And you probably remember, if you lived in a town where you were surrounded by Catholics, that all the Catholics would attend Mass on Sunday. Percentage-wise, you would have probably close to, I'd say 80% of the Catholics that would actually attend and participate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That means 8 of 10 Catholics would go to Mass. Only the 20% would not go to Mass. Those who did not go to Mass were seen almost as renegades. Now it's the other way around. The other way around, in which you have just the 20% that are going to Mass on Sunday regularly. And the 80% that are not going to Mass. So when we're talking about a communion of reparation, I think it's a good idea to add that as part of your intention when you offer your communion of reparation. Because that really hurts the heart of Christ. If you were to prepare to give, if you were to prepare to give a special gift to a loved one, I'll give you a very blunt example. Okay, say for example you've got a son or daughter that's graduated from college and you want to give your son a special gift, and you buy him a car. So you buy him a new car and you give him the keys and you say outside your new car, and you say it's a Ford. And your son says, well, I don't want that. I was hoping that you'd buy me a Mercedes-Benz. And he throws the keys at you. You would be highly insulted by that action of your son, of course. Highly insulted. Because you have saved, made efforts, you've gone to the dealers, got him a new car, give him the keys, and your son throws it back in your face. You would be deeply offended, to put it mildly. Well, in the very real sense, we do the same thing to Christ. In a very real sense, we do the same thing to Christ. In that, at the Last Supper, our Lord celebrated the first Mass. And it reached its culmination on Good Friday. The holy sacrifice of the Mass reached its high point on Friday. When our Lord poured forth His precious blood for our salvation and for the salvation of the whole world. And as a gift to us, as a memorial, but also as a gift to us, and the Eucharist actually means thanksgiving, our Lord gave that to us. So by not attending Mass, in a certain sense, it's almost like the Father giving the keys of the car to his son, and the son saying, no, I prefer another car. But the analogy falls short, because maybe a Mercedes-Benz is more luxurious than a Ford. But the gift that Christ gives us in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is giving us his body, blood, soul, and divinity. There is actually no greater gift underneath the skies, underneath the heavens. No greater gift than to give us his very person every time the holy sacrifice of the Mass is celebrated. So this hurts the heart of Christ. This coldness, this indifference. As our Lord said, you can looking at the Sacred Heart that I have in my studio here, and on the other side you have St. Margaret Mariella Cook with the Sacred Heart. Behold the heart that loves so much. Behold the heart that loves so much and receives only ingratitude in return. Console my heart. So this, my friends, is the whole thrust. This is the whole thrust of the request that Jesus made to St. Margaret Mariella Cook in the 1600s in the convent of Paray-le-Monial in France. He asked her to try to make a holy hour. Try to make a holy hour every Thursday from 11 p.m. to 12 midnight. And then, to get in the habit of making the nine first Fridays. So the nine consecutive first Fridays. So you start November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. So if you're to start today, that would take you up until July next year, which you make your confession, you attend the holy sacrifice of the Mass. You receive communion, but a communion of reparation. You console the heart of Christ. Another intention you might have, in addition to making up for the indifference toward the Eucharist, the lack of participation in Sunday Mass, would be also to pray in a special way for in reparation for the innocent blood that's shed, because in the Mass we offer the chalice of salvation. Offering your communion in reparation for the innocent blood that is shed every time an abortion is carried out. That's right. Every time an abortion is carried out, you have innocent blood that's being shed. So when the holy sacrifice of the Mass is being offered, then you're offering, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole world. for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and the whole world. So our Lord promises to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, as well as the Church, that those who are faithful to making the nine first Fridays of the month, making that communion of reparation, our Lord promises that in the moment that we die, that he'll be present to us to help us to die in his friendship, to die in the friendship of Christ. My friends, nothing greater in this world. The grace of all graces, my friends, the grace of all grace, my friends, is to die in the state of grace. By doing that, my friends, we'll be saved for all eternity. The grace of all graces, the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. By doing so, we will be saved for all eternity. So hopefully all of you in your homes, you have an attractive image. You're able to see a little bit better. That you have an attractive image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, an attractive image of Mary. You can see Our Lady Guadalupe. Also, you can see on the wall, I've got an image in my studio of Jesus on the cross and Our Lady of Fatima. And tomorrow, by the way, is the first Saturday of the month. And then you can see there's another image of good Saint Joseph in the workshop with the child Jesus present. In other words, it's a good idea to form the habit of having these holy reminders, these wonderful holy reminders in our homes. In our homes. So my friends, that was our message today. To pray for the dead, pray for the souls in purgatory. To be aware of death, praying for the dead, and pray that we ourselves would have the grace of all graces to die in the state of grace. And finally, we'd like to live out the first Fridays of the month. My friends, today I leave a little bit early today, but I'd like to give you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.